This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Drawing out-of-towners to the region is big business. In a typical year, Greater Cincinnati attracts 26 million visitors who attend conventions and area attractions. Collectively, they spend somewhere around $5 billion a year on hotel rooms, attraction tickets, and restaurants. The Cincinnati USA Convention and Visitors Bureau recently hired Julie Calvert as its new president and CEO. Ms. Calvert, who joins us today, worked as a vice president for communications for the Convention and Visitors Bureau before founding and leading Source Cincinnati about 4 years ago. She assumes the leadership of the CVB at a moment when the agenda is full, a possible convention center expansion, the need to renovate U.S. Bank Arena and the hotel across the street from the convention center, and questions about how to best continue development on the banks. You can join our discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Julie, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
I mentioned Source Cincinnati in the intro here. People may not know that was something that was about getting attention for the city, but it itself was kind of behind the scenes. What is Source Cincinnati, and what did you learn that you're going to be able to bring to the new responsibilities at the convention?
So Source Cincinnati is really, we created it 4 years ago, and it was a gap in the region. There was no one organization that was waking up every day thinking about how to get national media, national attention for this region. So working with our corporate partners, civic partners, came together under a unified vision to say, hey, this is about the reputation of this region. How do we attract more visitors, more talent, more economic investment? When you look at all the renovation and the renaissance that's happened in this region, there's a payoff for that. And the payoff is people coming to this region. So we really needed to get really singularly focused on how we do that, in which publications we talk to, which stories we tell. And that was really, at the end of the day, really the foundation of what Source is and was, and that continues to build.
And this is earned media, meaning you're not paying for it. You're convincing an editor or a reporter that there's a story here about whatever it happens to be, and convincing them to do that story.
That's right. We, over the course of 4 years, we brought in, over 100 national journalists to Cincinnati on a variety of different storylines, arts and culture, innovation, the startup community, manufacturing. So some real sexy stories and good stories, some just kind of really run the mill. But it really is, kind of talking to those reporters, placing those stories and competing with other cities and other interests that are doing it at the same time. So the only money behind this is the money to power that story out there. It's no advertising.
So are there a couple of wins there that you are particularly proud of that people might know? For example, I'm thinking of the New York Times, the 36 hours in Cincinnati.
That's right. There was a 36 hours that ran about a year ago on Cincinnati. So the reporter came to Cincinnati and spent 36 hours here. And it was all sorts of things that people can see and do in a quick snapshot of a city. And they do really cosmopolitan, international, national cities, that in that series. And so for Cincinnati to be in that mix is no accident. When you look around and see what we have here, what's happening in this region, people are coming here every day for those. And then I think that leverages us up into the 52 places designation that the region earned. And deserved, in my opinion, just earlier this year. So again, it's 52 places that people can visit all throughout the world, and Cincinnati debuted at number 8 on that list. And it's not alphabetical order; it's ranked, and we were right there.
And in both of those cases, that was Source Cincinnati working to get the attention that got those reporters focused. Right.
That's right. It was a combination of our work within the region. And then we have some really fantastic folks that have on staff that have, wonderful relationships and have really done this type of work at such a high level that have really brought that expertise and really guided us through how we earn that designation, how we work to it, what publications do we need to be in first that sends a signal, to someone like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. And let's not forget Travel and Leisure back in 2017 named us one of the 50 places to visit in 2017. Then there was the American Express designation, Thrill List. So all those things begin to work together to tell a story.
So now let's move on to Convention Visitors Bureau, Cincinnati USA Convention Visitors Bureau, which you're now responsible for. You've been there a week, so I'm sure you've solved all the problems. And so what's the scope of responsibility for the organization that you run? And I'm particularly thinking about, you know, who your partners are, and the hotels, the event venues, cultural institutions. What's the scope of what you're really doing here?
So the Cincinnati USA Convention Visitors Bureau, we consider ourselves the titular head of the hospitality industry locally. You know, the work that we do every day is only possible to do in partnership with many of the organizations that you mentioned. First and foremost, our hotel partners, you know, our attractions, our convention centers, and really the whole host of civic organizations that are set up across this region. We wake up every day and think about how many more conventions, meetings, events can we bring into Cincinnati. You know, we have a partner organization called the Regional Tourism Network, and they're funded through a portion of our bed tax and a portion of Northern Kentucky's bed tax.
So is that separate but related?
It's separate but very closely related.
Okay.
You know, we dedicate a portion of our bed tax in partnership with Northern Kentucky to fund that organization, and they think about tourism, leisure marketing, leisure activities. Now, we have folks on our staff that are absolutely deeply integrated with their staff and with their team, working hand in hand every day. So it's not things are being done in a vacuum or without any view. But, you know, again, with the way that we're geographically set up as a region, you know, we got that little river in between us sometimes, like, you know, that gap is smaller and smaller every day. But in terms of, you know, competing for leisure visitors, Northern Kentucky can go after the same leisure visitors that Cincinnati can. So instead of competing, we put those resources together and market this region as one.
You were mentioning the bed tax, hotel tax, whatever, however you want to put that. That's where your source of funding comes primarily, right?
That's right.
So as you were, I think between the time that you were announced and the time that you began to actually work, there were decisions made about tapping that to help with the FC Cincinnati deal. So $1.5 million a year for the next 30 years from the hotel tax. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, FC Cincinnati absolutely is a driver for visitors and for the visitor economy in this region. That tax is set up specifically to be invested and invested in tourism-related projects across the county. So we are incredibly supportive of FC Cincinnati, of the visitor opportunity that's going to bring. You know, certainly, you know, we have some very serious issues facing this region as it relates to the convention product that we have. But certainly we understand priorities in the community right now and know we're working, you know, very closely with those decision makers to make sure that convention center discussion, but more importantly, the hotel discussion stays top of mind through this. And I feel, you know, very confident that it's not a this or that, it's an and situation for what we're going to face.
And we're going to get to both of those topics. But one other question. What's the relationship of your organization to the Sharonville Convention Center and to the Northern Kentucky Convention Center?
Well, the relationship that we have with Sharonville is we have an office in the north, and we sell and market that convention center product just like we do the Duke Energy Convention Center downtown.
So you're responsible for selling that.
That's right. They have their own staff also inside where they're selling some of the events and the more day-to-day type of things. But we're constantly having our eye on, you know, different businesses across the state, different conventions that will fit in that convention center that are looking for more of a suburban location versus an urban downtown situation. So I work very closely, our staff and I work very closely with Jim Doughton and Mayor Hardman in Sharonville to make sure that we're looking at the business that can fit, that we're aligned properly to make sure that investment gets paid off in the north for sure. Our relationship with the Northern Kentucky Convention Center it's a cooperative relationship. Our responsibility is more on selling the Duke Energy Convention Center almost exclusively for meetings, events, and conventions. So our staff is aligned with them. Our hotels are lined up with how we're deployed and how we're looking at pieces of business every single day of what can go in there. And in terms of the Northern Kentucky Center, I can't think of a situation in the past, you know, 10 years or so, we've had to utilize both centers at the same time for the same event. But we do, when we have citywide conventions in downtown Cincinnati, sometimes we need to go across the river to fulfill some of the room night requirements. And so we work cooperatively with that bureau, Northern Kentucky. It's actually called MeetNKY. We work cooperatively with them to make sure that we can fulfill those obligations.
Okay. In recent years, your organization, particularly led by Jason Dunn, has had a special focus on attracting minority conventions to Cincinnati. How important is that market, not only presently, but going forward?
It's an incredibly important market. I think that when you look at cities that are growing and thriving, diversity and inclusion are key among those attributes that are that are part of what's driving that region forward. You know, for us as an organization and for us as a city, diversity and inclusion is the cornerstone and the foundation of everything that we do. And so to bring in conventions, events, meetings that are of a diverse nature help, you know, move dialogues forward. They help us think about things differently as a city. They create a platform by which, you know, issues that are affecting cities across the nation can be discussed right here in Cincinnati in terms of best practices, role models, those types of things. So that multicultural platform that started under Dan Lincoln back in the CVB about 7 or 8 years ago, and of course built and continued to grow by Jason Dunn, our Vice President of Multicultural Affairs, is going to continue to be a strong market for us, is going to continue to drive dialogue forward for us as a region. And, you know, we're really committed to that market.
Given that value, how important is the Freedom Center in that equation of convincing those sorts of groups to coming to Cincinnati?
So front and center, for sure. With the Freedom Center, and you look at where, you know, what our history is as a region, with civil rights issues, civil rights dialogue, that creates, you know, really, it's just all the relevance in the world for why these groups and why, you know, groups of that nature can be here in Cincinnati where they can be successful. We utilize the Convention Center often as a center for dialogue. We create events that go in there in partnership with their staff. We utilize that building for meeting space and in as many conventions as we bring here under that multicultural flag. That absolutely is a stop along the way and is, in many reasons, the number one reason why they pick Cincinnati.
How pressing is the question of the expansion of the convention center, the Duke Energy
right.
Convention Center? You know, it keeps getting referenced. Everybody says this is a goal, this is a priority, but how important is this?
Well, I think we should back up just for a second and take a look at the hotel product that is around the convention center right now. It's well documented, well debated, well accepted that we have some opportunities with regard to what our headquarter hotel looks like.
We're talking the Millennium, right?
Talking about the Millennium. It's connected to the convention center. So by that very measure, it's considered a headquarter hotel. It's had some challenges over the years. And when you look at how other cities that are competitive to Cincinnati, Columbus, Louisville, Indianapolis, Cleveland, their hotel product is in terms of what's connected to their center, is so far superior to what ours is that the opportunity for us to really maximize the space inside of the convention center is to build a headquarter hotel that is best in class.
Well, you know, people listening to this show are primarily local, and therefore we're probably not staying at the Millennium. What's the problem? And when you're saying it's not at the level that these headquarter hotels, convention center hotels, are in other cities, what's the difference and what needs to be done there?
Well, I just think, you know, just the general condition of the hotel in terms of having a five-star hotel that's connected to the convention center, the amenities that are inside of the hotel, the way that the hotel looks, even things as simple as how quick is the elevator, you know, those types of things, the load-in docks, the restaurant, the food product that's in there. I'm not saying that it's not a good food product, but all those things weigh on the mind of a meeting planner and a conventioneer when deciding to look at a city for an event or what hotel they want to stay in. And I think there's a level of expectation that when you're coming to a convention and you're coming to a city like Cincinnati, where we've invested so much in the renaissance of downtown, so much pride in the quality of the product that we have here. We don't do anything by accident and by chance. We do it with a purpose. That is really the missing piece of our city's renaissance.
So what's it going to take? I mean, that's privately owned.
It's privately owned by a group out of Singapore. There are some very good discussions that are happening with that group right now to get some resolution on where we go and how quickly we can get there with that. Hamilton County has been very involved in that, as well as some other partners in the city of Cincinnati around how we move that product forward. But it is beyond a foregone conclusion that we know that there has to be on both sides of this, on both sides of the table, that product needs to improve.
Now to the convention center itself. Okay, hotel, one thing. I might also say that there has been an explosion of downtown hotel rooms, though, but they're not right next to the convention center, and the price point may be really different.
Well, and Dan, some of that's okay because, you know, one of the benefits that we have is a downtown course. We're so walkable, you know, and you can be, you know, 4 or 5 blocks away from the convention center and still be within a, you know, a 10 to 12 minute walk, which is, you know, when you think about how Chicago is laid out or some other cities, I mean, that's 4 or 5 blocks is a big deal. So in terms of our, you know, convention center, the last expansion we had was a modest expansion in 2006. I think it's about, we added about 40,000 square feet, you know, which took us to about 200,000 square feet of what we call contiguous space. So that's completely usable space, which put us right in the middle of the pack in terms of our competitive cities. Since that time, you know, Columbus has expanded. Indianapolis has expanded. Louisville is expanding. They're getting ready to reopen their convention center in just a short period of time here. So we're quickly becoming outpaced in terms of the size of the center. And where that affects us is the types of meetings and the large numbers of people that we can bring in. And we're sort of, you know, I'm not sort of, but I think we are at a competitive disadvantage when you look at the size of our center. Then you look at the condition and the quality of our headquarter hotel. You know, those two things alone are tough, you know, for us.
So how much space needs to be added in the next, you know, and I know that's that can go a lot of different ways because it's what's possible too.
Right.
But how much needs to be added?
So I told you we're at about 200,000 square feet of contiguous space. Columbus is over 1 million. You know, Louisville, they have 2 or 3 different products down there where they can sell. They're getting close to it. And Nashville's off the charts. I mean, Nashville is not—
They've really invested.
Not even in our competitive set anymore.
They were, though, at one time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So— You know, there's different studies and there's different, you know, things being looked at right now to decide what's the right size for Cincinnati. You know, it's not responsible to just kind of throw out a couple of numbers and say if we, because the whole ROI and the impact it's looked at in terms of each square foot you add on, how much more can we as an industry, can we do? But there are some, you know, very, very, very smart people that have done work in cities like Columbus and Cleveland and Pittsburgh, you know, that are working on this product now to make sure that we have the right size at the right time.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about needing to expand the convention center in order to stay competitive in the group that we have traditionally been competitive? Or is it, this isn't going to flip us up into a higher group? That's not what you're asking for.
No, you know, I think we're looking at all that right now. And I think, again, we can't look that, we cannot look at this as it's this and that. It's got to be something that is an and. You know, for us, I mean, we are, you know, we are in the middle to lower end of our competitive set due to the size of our convention center. That's just not right when you look at downtown, look at Northern Kentucky, look at the close and surrounding neighborhoods. I mean, the assets, the amenities, the quality that's there, our arts and culture. I mean, other cities can't touch us on that, but the convention product has to keep pace and has to be on par in order to continue to really leverage the opportunities in this region.
On the visitor side or on the convention side where convention planners are looking for what would convince them to come, what is it outside the convention center? What happens here in Cincinnati that really catches people's attention that your staff has found over the years, you know, yes, they're really interested in that. Is it the zoo? Is it the museum center? Is it, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
What the Reds, the Bengals, whatever.
You know, I think it's, you know, Cincinnati is one of those cities where when people come here and they see how beautiful it is, how manageable it is, how easy it is to work with people in this region, and just the sheer number of things that there are to do outside of the convention center, it's still a surprise to people. Now, for Source Cincinnati's part, you know, for the Chamber, for Ready Cincinnati, for the Convention Visitors Bureau, all working together to lessen that idea of surprise so that it's a known quantity, you know what's happening. But certainly, just the vibrancy of the downtown area. The lights are on, there's activities, there's people outside, there's people doing things. And they're seeing all sorts of people from all sorts of places, you know, kind of coming together in our downtown area and enjoying themselves. You know, our crime rate is relatively low, comparatively speaking. So all those things create an atmosphere and create a condition that people feel that they can have a successful convention, which is, it's their line of business, so their business can be successful in Cincinnati.
You know, you're new to this position, but you've been with the Convention and Visitors Bureau right. and around it. I mean, obviously, even when you were at Source, you were working with right. them all the time. Has he ever had the – or do you – how often do you have the experience that somebody comes here as a conventioneer, has a really great experience, and that could then transfer over into saying, gee, I'd like to move my business here. Does that happen?
We have somebody working for us now where that happened. So we have a woman that is our sales representative in Washington, D.C. She came here on what we call in the industry speak a FAM, which is a familiarization tour, where we bring in a group of meeting planners to check out the product, check out the city. And she decided that she loved it so much she wanted to work for Cincinnati, work for the Cincinnati CVB. So she's been with us, you know, going close to 10 years. And so we have a real life example. And, you know, I'll tell you another quick story. My colleague, Susan Lomax, who is now the interim executive director of Source Cincinnati, we always had this running joke. We bring in journalists to Cincinnati and something magical would happen sometime between the 12th hour and the 18th hour, where all of a sudden they're interested in the story, but they're saying, well, how much does it cost to live there? And how much does it cost to live there? And, well, I could move my business here. Well, I could work out of Cincinnati, and it happens often. It happens a lot.
Yeah, and you can get journalists pretty easy with a little food, too. Julie, thanks for being with us today, and good luck with drawing even more people to Cincinnati. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Our intern is Layla Shakui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.